Chapter 13.
What is your plan, Draco Rex?
Mira asked as we watched the Scudawar from afar.
I say we just run all in there, axes swinging and teeth and gnashing,
Lazan suggested.
That would be idiotic,
Rikuri snorted.
We would all be dead before we even made it close enough to attack. Well, what did you do last time?
The multicolor-haired Kunag woman questioned.
Because whatever you did, we should avoid doing that too. Watch your tongue-tailed woman,
the hornless Chero growled.
We used every single battle strategy we had against the Scudawar, yet we still lost many of our sisters and dragons that day.
That's why we came here with you, Draco Rex,
Ashanti added.
Because we believe you would be able to come up with a plan.
There was no way in hell we were getting close enough to this thing just by charging it. It had massive, freakishly long arms, and I had no doubt in my mind it used those spines on its back for more than protection. You three have fought this thing before, right? I asked the Chero women. What is its fighting style? Does it have any weaknesses?
If it had any known weaknesses, we would have killed it the first time,
Rikuri huffed.
The first thing you all need to know is it's much faster than it looks,
Ashanti warned.
The Scudawar could probably run up to our position in no time at all. Its upper body's pure muscle, and that's what it uses to propel itself forward.
Okay, so it walks like a gorilla. That actually helps a lot. What else?
It'll use its spines as a weapon,
Batari added.
When it's enraged, the Scudawar lashes out by essentially body-slamming creatures with its back. Otherwise, it mostly just tries to punch and bite.
How sophisticated is this thing? Like, what is its intelligence level?
Somewhere beneath us,
Ashanti chuckled.
And our dragons, but nowhere near as stupid as a Widehorn or a Spotted Hound.
So do you think it will know what we're doing if we try to flank it?
That's hard to say. It most certainly was able to counter our flank before.
I stroked my chin as I tried to think of a way to hurt this thing. If it was anything like the creatures of my world, then there was a reason its spines were on its back and not all over its body. Its underbelly must be weaker than the rest of its body. That's why it goes to great lengths to protect itself when it's backed into a corner.
What are you suggesting then, Draco Rex?
Mira asked.
Shall we try to attack its stomach region from afar?
I could try to burn him from up in the air,
Tyrion suggested. Not a bad idea, but if we want to do that, we'll need to get him disoriented first. Otherwise, he'll see you coming and we'll just drop down onto his stomach. That was when the light bulb came on inside my head. We needed to take away the threat of the Scudawar's spines. We needed to get him onto his back.
We could try to distract him with our Mirax,
Rikuri suggested.
They're in no way fast enough to outrun the Scudawar, but if you hit him quick enough, that shouldn't matter.
Also not a bad idea. I think I may actually go with something in between. George, do you think you can make this ground swampy? I know it's already kind of mushy, but I'm talking full-on slick mud pit.
With enough of my water, I can make the volcanic island swampy,
George declared with a raised head.
What do you wish me to do, dear one?
What I need you to do is soak the ground like you've never soaked it before. I'm talking about getting it all slushy to the point where it's nothing but mud. George's spray was briny, but I didn't think it would be salty enough to kill the ground since there was already enough water in these wetlands to dilute it. Plus, this island seemed pretty hardy, so I wasn't really worried.
What good will that do? Mud baths are excellent for skin, but I fail to see how it'll help us kill a Scudawar.
Mud is slippery,
Nima declared with a raised finger.
And the Scudawar is very fast, which means if he steps in the mud while he's running,
he'll crash straight onto his spiny ass. And when that happens, his belly will be straight up for us to attack. That's where Tyrion comes in. He'll swoop in and light the bastard up while it's struggling.
We're gonna be the bait, aren't we?
Unfortunately. I nodded. We're all gonna have to be the bait.
All of us?
Well, everyone but Nima and Tyrion. They'll be up above hitting him with long-range attacks. The rest of us are going to ride down there and distract the bastard. George, you up for carrying us down, buddy?
I will do whatever I must, dear one,
the dragon said with a bow.
When do you want me to soak the ground?
Right when he sees us approaching. That way it'll already be damp and muddy by the time he reaches us.
Right,
George nodded.
Then this is what we shall do, though I can only take 3 or 4 of you at a time.
The Chero women can take the ones who don't fit on your back, if that's okay with them.
We'd be honored,
Batari said. It's settled then. Everyone, take your positions.
Not to sound like a skeptic, Draco Rex,
Jonas interjected as he walked over to George.
But what happens if this doesn't work?
Then we'll have to try a different approach, I explained, even though I wasn't quite sure what that would be at the moment. Jonas, the dragon twins, and I hopped up onto George's back, while Anora, Mira, Lazan, and Nadir each climbed atop a Mirak. Kandara fluttered up into the air, as did Tyrion. And Nima climbed atop Tyrion, though the silver dragon remained on all fours for the time being. Then we headed down the side of the hill, down into the wetlands of the Scudawar. The beast was still off in the distance, with his spiny back turned to us as he munched on some poor creature he'd killed.
"Shall we go airborne?"
Tyrion asked.
"I can take us up into the clouds where he won't be able to see us."
"Do it," I nodded to the adolescent dragon. Tyrion returned my nod before he glanced back at the Nyrilope on his back.
"Hold on, Nima. I know you're not used to riding a dragon, but all it really takes is a good grip and a decent sense of balance."
"He wants me to tell you to hold on," I explained to the Nyrilope woman.
"I'll do my best,"
Nima grinned. Then Tyrion sprang up into the sky, spread open his wings, and flew off into the abyss. His figure was quickly swallowed by the dark clouds above, and I wondered how the hell he was going to see to make his dive attack. But now was not the time to worry about that. We had a Scudawar to distract. My crew and the Cheros crept up to the creature as slowly and quietly as we could, until we came to a spot about 100 feet away from his position. The Scudawar was still hunched over, and the sounds of his slurping tongue mixed in with crunching bones and tearing flesh to make a nauseous crescendo.
"What do we do now?"
Mira hissed.
"Do we just start making loud noises?"
"This is actually kind of playing out in our favor. George, start soaking the ground."
"Right away, dear one."
The water dragon gave me a nod. George pulled back his head and inhaled deeply as his cheeks and upper body inflated. Then the water dragon opened his mouth wide and unleashed a soft blast of briny water onto the ground, about 300 feet ahead of us. The water spread across the desolate plains as if it were concrete. And for a brief second, I worried it wasn't going to soak in. However, after a minute or two of George's water cannon, I could see the ground was turning dark brown. It was becoming mush before our very eyes. "That's it," I encouraged my bondmate. "Keep at it, George. This Scudawar won't know what hit him." The water dragon continued his assault for a few minutes more before I patted him on the neck and ordered him to stop. When his beam dissipated, the area he had attacked was dark, wet, and very slick. Now all we needed to do was get the creature to attack.
"Do you want me to shoot it?"
Ashanti offered.
"That might get its attention."
"It's worth a shot," I nodded. "Go for it." The rest of us drew our weapons and held them at the ready as we watched Ashanti place an arrow on her bowstring. We then watched as the rhino woman held it up to her eye, slowly pulled back the arrow, and took aim squarely at the Scudawar. Finally, Ashanti took a deep breath and then she released her hold on the projectile. The arrow let out a stealthy swish as it shot forward and rocketed through the air, headed in a perfect trajectory toward its destination. I held my breath as the arrow slammed into the back of the Scudawar and bounced off.
"Tambori's tusks,"
Ashanti hissed.
"I thought for sure that would have worked."
"Ah, shit. Maybe we will have to go in closer. I don't think it's going to be able to hear us over the sound of its own sloppy eating. We should..." Before I could finish my sentence, George jumped in. The water dragon sucked in his breath deeply, stomped his front 2 feet, and unleashed a deep, guttural sound between a bellow and a roar. A dragon's call. Instantly, the Scudawar froze in place, dropped whatever it was holding, and stood up on its 2 legs. The monster let out a curious snarl as it turned to face us upon its awkward lumbering legs. When it saw us standing there, the Scudawar's hideous face twisted up into a smile, and its slimy purple tongue did a once-over of its lips. This thing hadn't seen a dragon for many years, probably, and it truly was intrigued by the prospect of gobbling one up. The Scudawar unleashed an intimidating roar, stomped its fists into the ground repeatedly, and squatted down like a cat about to pounce. Then it took off after us like a bat out of hell. It made half the distance in a single bound, and all I could do was watch with my heart inside my throat as the towering, muscular porcupine gorilla charged us.
"Ah, fuck! Run for it!"
The ants and the dragons all turned and rushed away as fast as we could, all while the thundering footsteps of the Scudawar pounded against the ground behind us. Suddenly we heard the squish of the mud, followed by a surprised yelp and an earth-shaking crash, and I glanced back over my shoulder to see the Scudawar was now writhing on his back like a turtle that had been flipped onto his shell.
"We got him,"
Matari declared, as her Mirak slid to a stop. We all turned around and watched as the next part of our plan went down. Tyrion's figure shot down from the sky, and his mouth was aglow with the beginnings of white-hot flames. Nima's arrow was drawn back as well, and she unleashed her projectile just as Tyrion blasted the Scudawar with his fiery breath. The Scudawar howled as the fire engulfed his body and completely torched the entire area around him. The dead grass went ablaze in an instant and spread across the plains like, well, like wildfire. Tyrion kept his assault going for a solid minute, all while the yowls of agony continued.
"I think it's working,"
Jonas muttered with a hint of disbelief in his voice.
"I can't believe it was so simple."
That was when everything went south. A hailstorm of Scudawar spines shot forth out from the ball of fire, and Tyrion only had seconds to halt his fire breath and then twirl his body out of the way, like a gymnast, so he wasn't turned into a scaly pincushion. When the fire on the ground waned, the Scudawar stood back to his feet. His flesh was a bit charred, and the spines were missing from where he had shot them. But otherwise, he looked perfectly fine.
"Ha ha! On second thought, maybe that didn't work."
"Oh, shit. Plan B, I guess."
"What's plan B?"
"We go in and take aim at the soft spots. Go for his eyes, his ears, fuck, even his ass would be a good place to attack. Just go for anything that's not covered in spines or leathery skin."
"That's as good a plan as any,"
Rikuri said, as she twirled her spear sword in her hands.
"Always wanted to go out with a warrior's death, anyway."
"Thanks for the vote of confidence."
The Scudawar's attention was now purely on Tyrion, which was both good and bad. Drops of thick drool dripped from the corners of the beast's mouth as he reached up for the dragon, though Tyrion was way too fast for the fucker. Tyrion responded with a shot of flames, which caused the Scudawar to recoil, but not give up the assault.
"Take us in, George," I ordered the water dragon. "Darya, Zarya, aim for something that looks squishy. Jonas, hold on for dear life."
"You don't have to tell me twice, Draco Rex,"
Jonas grimaced.
George let out a determined bellow before he lurched forward and sent us charging straight at the beast. The rest of my friends followed right behind us, and my heart swelled with pride. These were impossible odds. This creature was known for killing full-grown dragons and whole armies of mighty warriors. Yet my friends all charged into battle against it without a second thought, all because I ordered them to. Even if we died here on these plains, I would at least die a proud king. Kandara pulled to the front of the crowd, thanks to her nimble figure and emerald wings. The Morpho woman then unfolded her fan blade, held it behind her body, and changed her trajectory so she flew toward the Scudawar's face.
"Be careful, Kandara," I whispered under my breath as I watched her go.
The golden-haired butterfly woman darted upward, pulled back her blade, and then held it out in front of her as she zipped past the Scudawar's left eye. Her attack must have been successful, too, because there was a quick spray of crimson as she passed, and the Scudawar let loose an earth-shaking roar.
"Go, Kandara!"
The Scudawar repeatedly scratched at its eye in pain, but its attention quickly turned away from Tyrion and to the new threat that was approaching. Then he shifted his body down and bared his fangs at us, ready to attack. Too bad this was just what we wanted him to do. Darya, Zarya, and Mira all heaved their spears at the bastard, while Ashanti and Anora let their arrows fly. All six of their attacks seemed to hit their marks, and the Scudawar yelped as his face was turned into a fucking pincushion. Two of the spears shot up his nose, while another one lodged itself directly into his tongue. The arrows stabbed into his left eye as well, and the deadly beast was now trembling in pain. But he still wasn't down. Even worse, he was now pissed off. The Scudawar lashed out with his right paw and slammed it into Ashanti's Mirak.
"No!"
Batari cried out as we watched Ashanti, Mira, and Lazan get tossed like rag dolls. All three of the women and their aunt rolled across the dead grass for several feet before they came to a stop. Then they all laid there limp on the ground.
"Ashanti?"
Rikuri whimpered.
"We have to go get them, now!"
"My dragon bound indicates they are still alive,"
George protested.
"At least Mira is."
"We have to stay the course. We have to keep this hairy bastard away from them, or else they're all goners."
Rikuri opened her mouth to protest, but then closed it and frowned. The Chero woman turned her attention back to the Scudawar, and her eyes narrowed as she channeled her anger toward the beast. The Scudawar turned its body in a half-circle and then unleashed a blast of spines in our direction. George and the two remaining Miraks hopped back and forth like a bunch of overexcited bunnies as they dodged the needles, but we weren't out of the woods yet. The Scutawar was about to try and body slam us.
Tyrion!
I called out.
Another distraction would be great right about now.
On it!
Tyrion responded. The silver dragon made another pass at the oversized gorilla, and this time he focused his blast on the creature's face. The Scutawar snarled as he took a swipe at Tyrion, but the damage had been done.
We have to take out his arms. If we can immobilize him, then we'll at least stand a chance at surviving long enough to come up with a new plan.
How do we do that?
Batari demanded.
The tendons in his arms. Even if the rest of his flesh is leathery and tough, there will be weak points at any joints. If we go for the wrists, we could cripple the fucker and buy ourselves some more time.
Rikuri and Batari both whistled, and their ants got into formation next to each other. Meanwhile, the twins, Jonas and I, rode George off to the left, with our sights set on the Scutawar's wrists. Just as the beast sat his fists back onto the ground, George dashed around the inner side. As he did so, the twins held out their sea-glass daggers, and I threw out my sword. Our razor-sharp weapons slid across the Scutawar's wrists like hot knives through butter, and we were rewarded with a sickly snap and a spray of dark blood. The Scutawar instantly fell forward, and my crew just barely got out of the way before we were crushed by the bulk of the beast. It quickly tried to hoist itself back up onto its fists, but each time it attempted to stand up, it fell back down in agony. Now, we just needed to figure out how to kill this fucker once and for all. Suddenly, the Scutawar went prone, but before we even had a chance to think about it, spines shot out from the monster's back in every single direction.
Gah!
Tyrion cried out as he, Kandara, and Nima dodged the spikes. George and the Murax attempted to dodge once again, but this time it was in vain.
Ugh!
George gasped as one of the spines stabbed into his foot. The water dragon instantly tripped up and sent all four of us tumbling across the ground, and we flipped and rolled for a few seconds before we were able to stop ourselves and jump to our feet.
Ben!
Batari gasped.
I'm fine, I reassured the Queen Mother. George isn't, though.
I ran over to my water dragon, who was on his side and breathing labored breaths. George repeatedly gnawed at the giant spine that had punctured his front left foot, though his efforts seemed to be in vain.
Don't worry about me, dear one,
the dragon pleaded.
Kill the Scutawar first, and then we can tend to our wounded.
He shot a fucking spine all the way through your foot!
I'm aware,
George grumbled.
Don't worry about me right now. Your people still need you.
I pursed my lips and nodded, even though I didn't want to leave my bondmate's side. But I knew that he was right. As dire as his wound may have been, everything was going to get worse if we didn't finish off the Scutawar. The gorilla monster still tried to raise himself back up to his feet and instantly crumbled in pain each time. However, it looked like he wasn't as helpless as he appeared, because as we stood there and watched, the bastard's spines began to regrow on his back. It was only a matter of time before he was trying to turn us into Swiss cheese once more. We had to act fast. We'd hit the bastard in his eyes, nose, and stomach to not much avail. His joints were weak spots as well, but none of those would deliver the killing blow we needed. That was when it hit me. The only way we were going to kill the Scutawar was by getting inside of him, or at least attacking his insides. There were only two ways to get into his body, one of which I already decided was out of the question.
Tyrion!
I called out to the silver dragon above us.
Could you give me a lift?
Sure thing, Ben!
Tyrion announced. The shadow of the silver dragon was over me in an instant, and I felt his clawed feet grab my arms gently and hoist me up into the air. Then the ground dropped out from below me as Tyrion took to the sky.
I want you to drop me straight at this fucker's mouth.
His mouth?
Tyrion gasped.
Isn't that just asking to become a midday snack?
Probably, but the only snack the Scutawar is getting today is some atomic hot fire sauce. Minus the sauce.
I don't get the joke.
Tyrion sighed.
Breathe down his throat. When he opens his mouth, I want you to breathe down his throat.
He won't keep it open long enough.
The silver dragon warned. Leave that to me. I've got an idea. Tyrion flew me up over the writhing beast, whose spines were now at nearly 3/4 of their full length. I wasn't going to get a second shot at this, so I needed to make it count.
Now?
Tyrion asked. Get his attention first. Nima, you want to handle that?
Just tell me when.
The Nerilope woman agreed, and I heard her knocking an arrow on her bowstring. My heart hammered inside my chest as I held my sea glass blade at the ready. A million things could go wrong with this plan, and each one would end in a different grisly way. But I had no other option. This was how we killed this thing, and I didn't want to waste another second thinking about it. Now! I ordered. Tyrion's claws released me from his grip at the very same time Nima's arrow shot down toward the Scudawar. My entire body felt heavy as I plummeted down toward the ground, and I watched as the arrow flew straight into the Scudawar's right eye socket. The monster bellowed with anger as he turned his head up to Tyrion and Nima, and in that moment his fate was sealed. I twirled my sword around, pulled it back above my head, and then stabbed it into the creature's mouth as I fell. The blade went straight through the flesh of his mandible as gravity continued to pull me downward. There was a ghastly pop as my weight pulled the Scudawar's jaw free of its attachment, and the monster roared helplessly as I hung in place. Most importantly, though, was the fact that his jaw could not close any more. From the corner of my eye, I saw a flash of red as Tyrion unleashed his fire down onto the Scudawar, and I could feel the white-hot heat of the flames as they rushed past me and straight into the gullet of our enemy. The Scudawar tried to scream, but his entire respiratory system was incinerated before he had a chance. He flailed around wildly like a fish out of water, so I tightened my grip on my sword and hung on for dear life. Even then it was no use. The Scudawar's struggles began to slow as steam started to pour out from every orifice in his body. Then the monster went limp, and I held on as he fell forward into the ground. I put my feet up against his jaw, yanked my sword free from his flesh, and leapt away just before his chin slammed into the ground. I tumbled across the ground and hopped up to my feet, and then I turned back to face the Scudawar. His eyes were rolled back into his head, and his tongue hung out of his mouth like a dead purple snake. The Scudawar's dislocated jaw was shoved up into the roof of his mouth, and the spines on his back had begun to fall out of their sockets.
Is it?
Rikuri whispered, as she and Batari approached on their ends.
That's right.
I smiled at the women as I wiped the sweat from my brow.
The Scudawar is dead.